Welcome to the Neo Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialists Kim and Jackie of Element Q, alongside strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Neo Narcissism Podcast. Today, we are talking about truth and hope within the narcissistic relationship and all the little intricacies that go along with that. So, where would we like to start today in terms of this? I guess we can maybe start with what's leading the way when you're in a narcissistic relationship. What does a narcissist need within truth and hope?
This is where it touches on that whole idealism, illusion, fantasy framework. Mm-hmm. So, and oftentimes when we are hopeful, of course, if it's not based on the truth, and the narcissist is so good at hiding the truth, that it is difficult to have truth-based hope within the relationship. Mm.
Truth-based hope. That's really good. It's interesting that you bring up this sort of idea of fantasy, as you were saying there. So ultimately, the narcissist really is sort of constructing a fantasy of what the ideal their version of the ideal relationship looks like. And there would be a lot of hope based within that, because they present and tell us, like, oh, what, how beautiful this relationship's going to be. So then the person on the other side, the empath, really roots within hope. The relationship is at the start is looking so amazing, typically. But hope is really rooted in the fantasy of the relationship. That's where it sort of is originating from. So then where does the truth come into all of that?
Well, I think building on what you're talking about, I think they understand what your hopes are, right? They do the background check work, the gathering of information to really be able to facilitate the illusion by leveraging your already existing hopes.
Yes, that's right. Yes, you already have these sort of idealized versions of what you might want in your relationship. They maximize on that. All of your hopes and dreams are coming true.
Or you hope for them to come true.
That's right. That is what is being presented
to you.
Yes.
And then the targets will move and adjust slightly to continue to engage you in the hope that, well, okay, I got this, and, you know, I really am hoping for this. I just have to do X to get to that. Mm. Oh, and now I just have to do Y to get to that. And it just kind of keeps pushing you along that train.
So are you talking about them dangling
the carrot? Yeah.
Right. Okay, so, like, they're kind of putting out something that continues to fuel the hope in some way. So they fuel it, they feed it, to just keep the illusion going.
Yeah.
Yes, to keep the illusion going, because it's just enough of those crumbs, those little bits, that keep reinforcing this fantasy, idealized, hopeful version of all of your dreams and hopes coming true. But those little crumbs and carrots that are being dangled aren't rooted in anything real. Those are actually the things that will start to sort of crumble apart, will start to fall apart, where then you're sort of start to at some point realize that, or justify, that maybe you're a little off target in what the relationship ideals and hopes are. So you become sort of at fault in your, I think, in the empath's own perspective, like, oh, I'm not doing enough, reaching enough, achieving enough to get the outcome. Because it seems to be sitting always sort of just right there, but not never really fully stepped into.
Well, and if I'm catching you, they're doing just enough to keep your hope alive.
That's right. Just enough.
Yeah. So, and to keep you from feeling like you're crazy, for being mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll just kind of throw that crumb to just keep you moving forward. Yeah.
And enough to not look at the truth.
Yes, and those crumbs come out when questioning starts to happen. When you start to like, well, wait a minute. Like, are we not on board with this? With where we're moving to? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then there's little more crumbs placed out there.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you start to sort of question or turn to look at them and you're not staying on this fantasy train,
mm-hmm.
and you start to sort of look out the window and see what's going on, then they, yeah, you get more of those crumbs. So it's just like, okay. Then I'm just misinterpreting, or they're just having a bad day, or whatever it is. You can justify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's you continuing to fuel the hope yourself.
Yes.
Because of course, like, we get so attached to whatever that hopeful outcome is,
mm-hmm.
or the vision of what we hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was just getting, there's sort of an attachment on two types of attachment. There's sort of the attachment of achieving that love, and also like a bit of relief, like a possible relief of that hope. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I just keep doing all of these things, the relationship might get better and I might feel better in this relationship. Like, there's sort of this, if I just keep doing this, I'm going to get a sense of relief.
And is it then too, are you sort of pointing to the fact that, like, you can start to dismiss the cracks that you're seeing?
Yeah.
To reorient back to the original fantasy when you were in, like, the love bombing stage of the relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that is, and like, Brad, you brought this up previously when we were talking about hope, another word for hope that you have.
Oh, right. Like,
yeah.
Expectation.
Right.
It's hope is really a fancy word for expectation.
Mm-hmm. So in the love bombing phase, you have like, oh, all of it, and everything feels so real, and maybe it is in some way. And you have an expectation that the outcome of this relationship is going to be X. And then you start on this hope train, thinking you're getting to that outcome. And that's not where it's going. And it's because that hope is based in fantasy. And you do not, we would typically advise people to not base your, or allow anyway, your hope to lead. Because then fantasy is leading. Versus when we started this podcast, we're talking about hope and truth. So where should hope really be in relationship to truth?
Hmm. So... yeah, and that's where, again, you want truth to lead ahead of hope. You want your relationship to be based in truth, not just hope. When it's based in truth, you can have hope. I mean, it's natural to have expectations within relationship and be hopeful for, you know, healthy experiences, positive experiences. So it's not like we're saying be hopeless.
Yeah.
But just keep your hope in check and pay attention to how your hope may be being used against you.
Yes.
Yeah.
From others, from the narcissist, but also from yourself. You're using hope against yourself to keep you in the fantasy, because too, I think it can be hard to accept and look at the truth.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some fingerprints of identifying the differences? So one piece I know with truth is that truth doesn't mind being questioned.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It absolutely stands up to question.
Yes, whereas a lie...
does not.
Does not.
Yeah, and you will see it in your relationship that when you question and there is a lie being presented, there is gaslighting, there's distraction, there's anger... right? Nothing to see here. It's
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you question me?
Mm-hmm.
You get all of the sort of the indignation, the blaming,
mm-hmm.
and there they're made of Teflon. Nothing's sticking to them, right? When it's when you're questioning them and it's a lie.
Yeah.
But when it's truth, you should be able to have an open, honest conversation.
Yeah.
It might be uncomfortable. For me, the feeling of it, like the sensation of truth, is grounding. It's rooted. It feels safe, even though it might be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between uncomfortable and safe and uncomfortable and unsafe. There's a very tangible, physical, emotional experience to that. Mm-hmm. So I think people like just sort of testing that out for themselves and recognizing that would be a fingerprint, right? We know, we've all had the experience of knowing when we hear the truth.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something in that too that can be really complicated. I'm trying to piece it together. Because you know how the truth feels when you're caught in that cycle of being roped into the fantasy train to Hopeville or whatever we want to call it. I think there's also a hope that you'll get to truth.
Yes.
Well, and this is the interesting part. At least in my experience, when you seek for truth, when you seek understanding, the narcissist will say to you, why are you interrogating me? Mm-hmm. Whereas, like you're talking about, when it's about truth rather than deception, mm-hmm. we love to be understood in truth.
Yeah.
Like when somebody actually takes the time to really dig in and understand what our experience is, like that feels good. You feel cared for, you feel loved, you feel seen. But when you do that with a narcissist, right, they instantly become uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And in a way, even though they are safe, their experience is they feel unsafe.
Yes.
Because, I mean, who doesn't feel unsafe getting trapped in a lie?
Yeah.
It feels like you're cornered. It feels like there's no way out. Mm-hmm. So that's one indicator mm-hmm. that if you're genuinely seeking truth, if you're genuinely seeking understanding, and they, you know, flip it around like you're saying, or avoid it, or say, why are you interrogating me? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not an interrogation. It's a genuine seeking of truth and understanding.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself, if you are genuinely seeking that and not genuinely trying to catch them in a lie, right? Because there's a difference there. If you're genuinely trying to understand this person, that's coming from genuinely trying to understand a person without agenda of trying to blame or catch them in something. That's coming from a place of love. That is deepening the understanding of who your partner is. And yes, it can feel vulnerable, but again, trust lives within that. It is ultimately safe. There's a difference between uncomfortable and unsafe. Mm-hmm. I think that genuine seeking to know your person is really about truly knowing them. And if you're in a healthy relationship, the other side of that, that person wants to be really known.
Yes.
And really seen. And understood.
I think when you're in the relationship with the narcissist, you're always hopeful that you're truly going to be able to understand and see them.
Yes.
And you get glimmers of it and never see the full picture.
And you're living on the hope that they will eventually see you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And seek understanding and work towards the truth together.
Yeah. The other piece I was going to say, we were talking about just sort of identification markers and all of this, is that the truth also, like another way of seeing it, is like if you bring up the truth, there's no place for it to land.
Mm-hmm.
Another like, what's that word called? Identifying or marker, another thing to look at
mm-hmm.
if this is happening, that you bring up a truthful piece of information into the relationship, into the conversation, and if it doesn't land. So again, like we talked about, the truth doesn't mind being questioned. If the person starts getting defensive, that's another kind of way. If the truth doesn't even land on the table, can't even be talked about, that's another...
This is such a great point, Jackie, this sort of landing pad of truth.
Yeah.
For truth. For me, the way that sort of frames up or how I visualize that is that's part of the foundation of the relationship, is this landing pad of truth. It has sort of be founded on that. And that's a far more stable, unshakable foundation if you are creating this landing pad of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and healthy individuals can tolerate that space, and unhealthy, narcissistic individuals can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too vulnerable for them, and that's why they have that sense, and I want to put the key emphasis on sense, of lack of safety, mm-hmm. when really it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I guess the risk within the lack of safety is being seen, because if they're really going to be seen, they're going to be seen for the deceit, the lack of reality they're really rooted in, and ultimately the destructiveness that comes from being in that relationship that they bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Why would you want to see that? Why would you want to own it? I mean, it's certainly, you know, I think a healthier thing for people to do, but it's an unlikely thing for a narcissist to do. Highly unlikely.
Here's a question. Is that, would that ever be a narcissist's truth?
What specifically?
To see that and to own that of themselves.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if they are always living in a fantasy and creating illusions and they believe it, would that even ever be their truth? I don't know.
Right, their truth.
Yeah, their truth.
Versus objective truth.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's the debate out there through relativism that talks about, oh, there is no universal truth. There's only, you know, your truth. But, I mean, it doesn't take much to look into the laws of the universe to see that there are universal truths.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Inertia and momentum function in a certain way that if you're going at a certain speed and run into a brick wall, there's going to be one outcome. And it doesn't matter what you believe about it, how much you feel like, oh, no, that's not going to hurt me or whatever. You know, your truth does not outstand the objective truth. So, like you're talking about, the narcissist's truth, they can truly believe it. But essentially, it doesn't make it objectively
mm-hmm.
true,
mm-hmm.
right? Or universally true. And so, under the pressure of real truth, their illusion truths start to break down.
Yeah.
With the differentiation here in this, like asking if the narcissist can actually see that, be the difference between somebody who is diagnosable narcissistic personality disorder and somebody who is not but patterned to use the traits of narcissism. Like, would that person have a little bit more likelihood to be able to see that truth versus somebody who's actually diagnosable narcissistic personality?
I think it goes back to our previous episode when we talk about the being under the influence of the spirit of
mm-hmm.
narcissism. So how far deep is that person into that spirit at that time? Because when they're in that spirit at that time, they have no access to truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to kind of draw this distinction between having the tendencies of versus actually having the full disorder,
mm-hmm.
then you're just talking about the pervasiveness or the patterned framework of those things. But if anybody, even a healthy person
mm-hmm.
who is in kind of a narcissistic state for whatever reason and is under that influence, they will not like the truth whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that spirit
mm-hmm.
that rejects the truth at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So you really know you're onto something if you're speaking something to someone who's overtaken by the spirit and they reject it. You know you're onto the truth.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good marker.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be continued.
Mm-hmm. To be continued. And as usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.